for the last 2 weeks, we spoke about dangerous love. And tonight we're going to speak about dangerous leaders. A lot of warnings here in 1 John chapter 2. We looked at verses 15, 16, and 17, and that love that was dangerous was a love for the world. And we said repeatedly that it is a love that God hates. Don't love the world. And we spoke of that. And so now John shifts his focus, of course, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, but he shifts his focus to false teachers, dangerous leaders, if you will. And so we're going to just dive into this and go as far as we can tonight. We might finish it, we might not. We'll just see what happens. You know, John says here, look at verse 18, little children, it is the last time. And quite frankly, we're all living in the last time. And as you consider the Bible, we have the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean necessarily that that Jesus is coming tomorrow, although we should live with that expectation. And I believe that's what John was living in, even though he was only a few years away from when he went back to heaven, the Lord Jesus. But it is the last time. And so that's, again, remember, God's word is never outdated. It's better than the morning newspaper, all right? And so it is the last time. We can read that on February 2nd, 2022. A lot of twos in the date today, by the way. Whatever happened to that groundhog? Did he see his shadow? Or we got six more weeks of winter or what? Does anybody believe in that stuff? Anyway, it's Groundhog Day, you know? Come on, you got to think about all these holidays, right? Should be a stat holiday. I'm just kidding. And anyway, February 2nd, we can read the Bible, and it's as fresh today as the day that it was written. And it's applicable for all of us, right? It's applicable. But then he said, as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. And you know, I'm not going to necessarily preach on the Antichrist tonight, but we do know that the Bible teaches, we're going to talk a little bit about the Antichrist. So that's one individual. And then he says, even now there are, what's the next word? Many Antichrists. Okay, so we know someday that there is going to be an Antichrist, big A, but there's a lot of Antichrist even now. There were in John's day. Maybe they were the Gnostics and other people. They would have definitely been the Gnostics, but other people. But we, again, remember the Bible is timely, so we could read this today and we can say with John, same thing for today. You know, nothing new under the sun. Jesus is coming soon. There is an Antichrist, and there are Antichrists, even today, all right? And he says, whereby we know that it is the last time. So two times in verse 18, John says it is the last time. But look at that word Antichrist. It means instead of or opposite of. Instead of or opposite of. Anti, okay, is the instead of or opposite of. And of course, Christ. So, opposite of Jesus, the opposite of Jesus, we could say, or instead of Jesus. Now, this term Antichrist is only in John's epistles, the only place you'll find it. And it's five times in four verses. The one we just read, it's also in 2:22, and we'll talk about that. And then in 4:3, John 4, 1 John 4:3, and then 2 John 7. Now, the spirit of Antichrist. Remember, we said love. Jesus said, the Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The spirit of Antichrist is alive and well in the world today. Okay, and again, it always has been. All right. Remember, the world is against anything that God is for because the world is under the control of Satan, right? And so it's in the world today. And again, we've talked about it the last couple of weeks. This spirit, this Antichrist spirit, the spirit of Antichrist, will ultimately be fulfilled in the Antichrist, okay? So it's ramping up, if you will, for that day. And so we know, again, that there are many antichrists today. Now, the antichrist, big A is how I'm saying it tonight, He may or he may not be alive today. Who knows, okay? We don't know when the Lord is coming. We don't have that. The Bible tells us very clearly, no man knows this. And when I say may be alive today, I'm referring to the individual who will be occupied by the Antichrist, okay? So the Antichrist is going to take over somebody. They're going to yield themselves to him. Here's something to think about, a quote that I found, and I'll just read it for you. Some have wondered if this Antichrist will be an individual or a political system. This is really a small distinction because it will, in a sense, be both a person and a political system. To a large extent, man does not represent and personify an entire government or system. Man does, excuse me, I said that wrong. Let me read that again. To a large extent, a man does represent and personify an entire government or system. When we think of Germany in the 30s and 40s, 1930s and 1940s, we have the figure of Hitler as an individual and Nazi Germany as a state are virtually the same. Now, that doesn't say, we're not saying the German people. Okay? The Antichrist is an individual, but he will also be associated with a powerful government. Antichrist. Now, John was warning, though, in 1 John 2, John was warning against current dangerous leaders, who taught a doctrine that was Antichrist. And this doctrine, it isn't necessarily one thing that you can point to, although he refers to some specifics here. And although I would say today that we still have the doctrine of Antichrist all over our country and all over the world. In my opinion, it would seem today that our world is ripe for a leader to come on the scene like the Antichrist. A charming, a successful leader, someone who can powerfully sway the hearts of billions and billions of people. Remember, Satan is an angel of light. Okay? Don't get the Halloween picture of Satan. That's not who he is, all right? I don't even know what that looks like anymore these days, but it's not some gross creature. It's right. If a man is beautiful, I guess so, sure. But yeah, he's an angel of light. But one day, and I use this word, but it didn't mean the same thing 2 years ago, but one day he will take off his mask. And he will really reveal himself. We believe that to be the midpoint of the tribulation, leading into the great tribulation, the second half of the tribulation. The first half will be all about wooing people to himself, and this isn't necessarily an end times message, but it does have applicable things there to consider. He will look the part of a kind-hearted leader. And you can be sure that he will have a cult-like following. Now, we have religious leaders, we have dangerous leaders like that today. And I'm not going to start naming them, and I'm not saying that any of them are the Antichrist, but they are preaching and teaching the doctrine of the Antichrist. It is an Antichrist doctrine. So we cannot overlook what John is saying in reference to many Antichrists. You see that again in verse number 18. There are many Antichrists even now. And I would say, church, to us tonight, not in a to scare us, but just to make us, again, to be more discerning, they are among us even today. And sometimes the most dangerous people, the most dangerous false teachers can come from within. Look at verse 19. Just verse by verse tonight. They went out from us, but they were not of us. So at one point, John is saying there were people with us, but they were not of us. And it says, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out. that they might be made manifest, be made known, that they were not all of us. Now, this is not referring, let me just say what this is not referring to. This is not referring to someone who goes from a, leaves a Bible preaching church of the Lord, maybe they relocate their family to a different place, and they leave a church, and they move to another church, or even within this area here today. There's a lot of really good Bible preaching churches. So I don't believe John is saying anybody that leaves the church and goes somewhere else is not of us. That's not what John is saying. This is in reference to people who completely walk away from the things of God. From the things of God. A healthy church, this is a quote I found, a healthy church can purge itself of poisons. The compromising and false Christian will not feel comfortable setting down roots in a healthy church. He will either, or she will either get right with God or will eventually leave. Now, I hope you know my heart, and if you're visiting online and you've never met me, you don't know my heart, but I think most of you know my heart. And so I'm going to say some things, and I trust that you'll just follow along, and we're going to be turning to some other passages of Scripture, so be ready about with that. But I submit to you, based on what we're reading right now, there could in 1 John, there could be people who regularly attend Anchor Baptist Church who are not Christians, even though they identify as one. There is a difference between a professing Christian and a possessing Christian. Think about that. Think about that. A professing Christian or a possessing Christian. The one that you want to be, the one that I want to be, the one that I know I am, sorry, is I'm a possessing Christian. I'm not just professing that I'm a Christian. It's I know that Holy Spirit of God is within me. We'll talk more about that. But just think about those two words, professing and possessing. So to simply be a professing Christian may not mean a possessing one. So how do we tell the difference? Are we supposed to walk around and start looking at people and, I don't know if that guy over there is professing or possessing, you know? No, that's not your job, by the way. That's not my job. The Bible tells us something about this, though. Turn to Matthew chapter 13, please. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. There's a way it's referred to here by the Lord Jesus that will come about one day. And Matthew 13, verse 24. And it's the teaching about the tares and the wheat. Okay? Tares look just like wheat, but they're of no value. They're of no sustenance. They grow together. Another parable put he forth unto them, verse 24, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in the field? From whence are the tares? Hath it tares? He saith unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But notice what Jesus said in this parable. And he said, nay, no, no. Lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them. Gather the wheat into my barn. Jesus clearly tells us here that there are tares within the wheat. And I would say that there are professing Christians within the possessing Christians. And it will not be known until God does the separating. This message isn't meant to say that, you know, we need to be examining people and trying to figure out, are you really saved? But God's word does, okay, so that's one part of it. Now, but God's word also indicates to us that a backslidden Christian, okay? So we've got someone who is a possessing Christian, but they're backslidden. That happens, right? We know that happens. It's happened to me, it's happened to you, it happens to anyone, it can happen to anyone. Well, that doesn't mean that because if somebody backslides, they're going to go to hell now. Bible clearly tells us, though, that there will be some things that will happen to that individual who is saved, who is clearly born again, if they backslide. Because they're a child of God. Something will happen to them. What do you mean something will happen to them? Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We're kind of stalling a little bit here in verse number 19. Again, some were of us, but they went out from us because they were not of us. Kind of a tongue twister. You know? Hebrews 12, verse 5 says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children." John said, "My little children." These are believers. Remember, 1 John's written to believers. Says, "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord." So someone who is living in a backslidden manner is eventually going to be chastened by the Lord. Why? Because the Lord loves those whom he chastens. "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." So, okay, chastening and rebuking don't sound too pleasant, do they? For obvious reasons. So there is something coming, right? There is something coming to the backslidden individual. But is there going to be something coming to only the professing individual? No, because this is for the believer. So think about that for a minute. Yes, there's something coming for someone who's not truly born again. They're going to go to hell. I didn't say that. The Bible tells us that. So all throughout Christendom, in the sense of I'm saying Christendom, I'm saying Bible preaching churches, John said, in our day, in John's day, he said there were people that were with us and now they're gone. This is the Turner translation, okay? We're not changing the Bible, but you know, there were people that used to come to church and now they're gone. Some found another church, praise God, and that's fine. We know we're not the only church. We know that there's a lot of really good places, so that's not a problem. And that should never be a problem, by the way. I believe God has a church home for everybody, okay? So, but that happens, okay? So I look at that, and John says that there were people that were of us, with us, but now they're gone because they were not of us. He's saying they were not really Christians. And eventually, they just got tired of it, and so they just left. Even though they, in a sense, walked the walk, talked the talk. I mean, blended in just like a tare, okay? Tares in the wheat, okay? So let's keep reading in Hebrews, verse 6. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." So we've got chastening, we've got rebuking, and now we've got scourging. "And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening," notice, I underline these next few words, "God dealeth with you as with sons." Now this next statement is very important, in my humble opinion. "For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not?" That means if there's somebody that claims to be a Christian who can live in continual sin, I don't know where that line is drawn. It's not my job to figure it out. And no chastening comes, and no scourging comes, and no rebuking comes, then they're not a child of God. And I can say that based on the fact that Hebrews tells me here, if there is a son, he's going to be chastened by the Father. And if we're children of God tonight, not just sons, this obviously is for ladies too, but as a child of God, we're going to be chastened. It's going to happen. We're truly saved. But if ye be without chastisement, language gets a bit stronger here, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. You're not a child of God. You're possessing a title, but you're professing a title, but you're not possessing the Spirit of God. So I've written down some questions for us to meditate on and think about tonight. So, you know, because this has really been, you know, another reference, 1 John 5:16. Let's go back to our text and let's see here. 1 John 5:16 says, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death. Right? You know what that means? That means that if there are some Christians born again, on their way to heaven, saved, they possess Christ, Holy Spirit, right? But eventually God says, you're coming to heaven. That's it. And he takes them home. Why? Because they're a bad testimony, maybe. I'm not saying anybody that dies prematurely or young or whatever. I'm just saying here's what it says. Sin is sin which is not unto death, which means there is a sin unto death. And it even says that. Look at verse 16 at the bottom of the verse. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Obviously, we know if somebody takes the Lord's Supper inappropriately, and that happened in Corinthians, it said that many people slept. They weren't taking a nap on Sunday afternoon. They were dead because there was God took them. So God does take his children home for that reason. Okay? So let's meditate on those things maybe later another time. But I want to just ask you some questions. Don't answer them out loud. Don't answer them out loud, but just think about it. Why do we really come to church? Just think about these questions. Why do we really come to church? Why do we say we're a Christian? What does that really mean? Could church simply be for the social activities? For some, I bet it is. Now, there's nothing wrong with social things. Okay? Why do we do it? Again, I hope you know my heart, all right? I often wonder, and I'm speaking from my heart right now, I often wonder about people who call themselves Christians but rarely, if ever, attend church. Okay, I'm not talking about pandemic and not, okay, just, you know what I'm saying. Could it be they were never born again of the Spirit of God? I am not suggesting, I typed this out because I wanted it to be specific. The Holy Spirit wants me to change it, I will, but in no way am I suggesting that church attendance is necessary to be a Christian. But I am saying that a true Christian will love who and what God loves. I'd like to remind us tonight, online group and here, God loves the church. Jesus Christ died for the church. The church may or may not have many ministries. God loves the church. Praise God, we have many ministries, but no ministry of Anchor Baptist Church should ever take the place of my relationship with the church. Now, again, I've asked myself questions in recent days. Where did everybody go that was attending Anchor Baptist Church in February of 2020? I'm not trying to be discouraging. I'm just trying to get us to pray and think about these things in our own life. Because not everybody has come back. In fact, many people have not come back. But then our family was around. Emma wasn't even around, but my wife and I were around back 21 years ago. So I asked myself this question, where has everybody gone that once attended Anchor Baptist Church over the last 21 years? Now, again, as I said, some have gone to other churches. Praise the Lord. Some are in the great cloud of witnesses. Amen. And they're looking down, I guess. I don't know. Maybe. And they're in heaven. Praise the Lord. But where is everybody? Anyway, here's my prayer that many have found other biblically sound places to attend. Let's go back to our text. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. I don't know why I keep thinking of 2020 and COVID, you know. Where did they go? But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Verse 20. Let's end on a higher note. Verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. What are we reminded of here? We are reminded here of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of every believer. Praise God that the Holy Spirit is not just for a select group. The Holy Spirit of God is for all believers. Everyone that's trusted Christ as Savior, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit communicate? The Holy Spirit communicates truth. Truth. It is vital that we understand that the Holy Spirit would never lead us contrary to the Word of God. If we're going contrary to the Word of God, it's not because the Holy Spirit is leading us that way. It's because another spirit is leading us that way, and maybe it's our own flesh. The Holy Spirit will always lead us contrary, or lead us according to the Word of God. Always. John 16:13 tells us that. That Jesus Christ is, we know that Jesus Christ is the truth, and the Holy Spirit is the one who guides us to Him. Let's turn over there quickly to John's Gospel, chapter 16. It's probably a familiar verse to you, but let's read it one more time. John 16:13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Spirit of truth. God's Spirit is in you tonight. John said, ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. You know what that means? That means you don't even need me. Now, I believe there's a purpose of a pastor in everyone's life. But what that's saying is, it doesn't discount the pastor, it doesn't discount the church, but what it's saying is, you can take this book right here, and you can pray to the one who wrote this book on your own, by yourself, and you can say, help me to understand your word. And the Holy Spirit that's inside of you can teach you anything that you need to know from the Word of God. It is why we always say, and how we talked about in 1 John, your walk with God. Your walk with God. Your walk with God. That's what John is saying. John is saying, you have an unction. You have the power. You have the ability within you. That's why he says, and ye know all things. How do we know all things? Through the unction of the Holy Spirit of God. That's why I'm saying, those that are simply saying they profess things, they're not going to be led to all truth. They don't have the Holy Spirit of God. In fact, they're going to be swayed away from the truth because they don't have the Holy Spirit of God. You and I have the Holy Spirit of God in us. Yes, again, it's not that I'm contradicting myself. I'm just saying that we have no excuse, really, as believers tonight, to not know the truth. Because, yes, we have a local church, but even before that, you have the Holy Spirit of God in you. We don't have church 7 days a week, in case you haven't checked. And you know that. But every day we can get up and get in this book that God gives us life. And we can understand His Word through His Spirit who leads us to truth. And do we ever need to be led to truth? Because there's so much that can be swirling around us that even looks like truth, but it's not true. I wrote this down. We need the daily filling of the Holy Spirit of God in order to stand for truth. and recognize the deception of the Antichrist in our world today. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are able to, by the Spirit, to discern what is truth and what is error. I have heard from many in the Catholic Church over the years. I'm not picking on the Catholic Church, it's just the example that I have. That they never took a Bible to their services. In the past days, these services, and from what I've heard from some, the speaking would not have even been in English. I think Latin is what I was told. And so, what's he saying? Unless you knew Latin, you know, what's he saying? You don't need a Bible. The priest will tell you what you need to know. Look, we've said it from day one. This is the only book that is inspired. And we don't need to be led by the under-shepherd unless the under-shepherd is saying, this is what God's Word says, and let's obey God's Word. And so this is where we have to be very careful that we recognize that the Holy Spirit of God always leads us according to the Word of God, not to the Word of man. Look at verse 27 in our text. But the anointing which ye have received of him, same thing in verse 20. You could draw an arrow from 20 to 27 if you wanted to. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. In a time of instability, we are stable as possessing believers. We are stable due to the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. That's a reason to praise God tonight. Because I don't think it's going to get any more stable the further time goes on. I think it's going to get more and more, there's going to be more and more instability. But we don't have to fear that. We don't have to fear anything. We fear God, yes, but we don't have to fear because why? We have that unction. We have that anointing in us through the Holy Spirit of God to recognize dangerous teachers, dangerous leaders. Just today, an email was sent out and came across my desk from Pastor Nathan. He didn't send the email, but he forwarded it to me. And it was a YouTube video. Be careful, okay? I have said this so many times. We have a YouTube channel, the church, and blah, 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 and we're using it right now. If you're on YouTube, hi, YouTube family. But got to be careful. Here's a guy on YouTube, and I don't know if he's in his living room or in his bedroom or whatever, and he's got a camera and he's got a microphone, and you know, you can, again, a platform is really easy to have in 2022. And basically, within about 30 seconds of the video, he's like, let me tell you what you're not being told at the church you're attending. You know what that is when you hear something like that? That should be a neon flashing light, you know, turn this false prophet off. Turn this, and you know what? I don't know what he, I don't know anything else about him, don't know his name. All I need to hear is that. Let me tell you something you're not hearing at your church. Oh, okay, so you're the subject of all truth, I guess, or you're the authority of all truth. And there's a lot more to it than that, and he is very deceptive, and we could go into it. I'm not going to go into it. The point is, that shouldn't interest me at all as someone who has the unction and who has the anointing. And I'm saying every Christian has the anointing. We don't pray for the anointing, right? Okay? There are some false teachers out there who say you got to pray for the anointing. You have to pray for the anointing. You got anointed the day you got saved. We need to pray for the filling. The filling. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. But whenever I hear something like that, it's like, okay, you know, off. You know, I'm doing the channel from the old TV, right? Off. Anybody remember those dials? Anyway, okay, we got a few people. Okay, a few people. You know what I was? I was the remote control in my house growing up. Ben, can you turn it to channel 6? Can you turn it to channel 20? Oh, man, I wish they had remote controls. Anyway, and there's an off button. And you know what? we need to use the off button a lot when it comes to false teaching. Don't listen to it. Don't entertain it. Because guess what? It can impact whoever the greatest Christian is here tonight. Not worried about who it is. Doesn't matter. Jesus is our Savior. He's our King. But it can influence the one who knows the most Bible. Careful. Be careful. There are many antichrists. We'll talk a little bit more about it next Wednesday. God lets us live. We're not in heaven. If we're in heaven, none of us will carry on, okay? But we'll be in heaven forever. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll have our prayer page.